the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Dina Dow and Johnny Aver. Hey, guys. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, good morning. Is not David Dawson over here? He's on the other side of the glass
Dina
today.
Dow. Oh, yes, Dina. David Dawson is on the other side of the glass. So is Karen Cotton. And Johnny Aver, co-host with Dina. Hey, guys.
Great to see you all. Good morning.
Oh, it's so good to have you with us this morning, Dina. What a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you all. It's so beautiful to wake up with you guys. Wonderful.
Yes. And it is a Wednesday in March. We are marching toward Calvary. We are marching toward Easter each day. So it's getting close, guys. So let's stay strong in our Lenten observances. So we're going to ask for the intercession this morning in our more opening prayer of St. Leander of Seville. So let's get this day started in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, as we come to you once again this morning, with our needs and our desires, help us to have confidence that you are always working in our lives to bring us closer to you. Just as you submitted all things to the Father, help us to entrust our lives, our families, and our world to your judgment, relying on your mercy and your desire to bring life where there is death, light where there is darkness, and honor where there is shame. May we be constantly amazed at what you have revealed, and fully in love with the truth that is you. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Johnny. We'll learn more about our Saint of the Day, Saint Leander of Seville, later on during our Saint of the Day segment. But at 7 after, Johnny has a wonderful gospel reflection. Stay with us for that. He has some insights on today's reading. In 18 minutes, Peter Finney joins us. He is a general manager and editor of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Today, Peter will give us an update of what you'll be finding in this week's issue. In 35 minutes, we're taking it over to the Panhandle, specifically in the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee, with Dr. Tom Neal. He's the Chief of Evangelization and Mission Engagement. And today, we're going to be talking about practicing silence during Lent. So we're going to be having some wonderful insights with Dina and Dr. Neal. It's going to be a great segment. Yeah. And in 48 minutes, Dr. Jordan Haddad joins us. He's a professor of dogmatic theology over at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans and president of the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society. And we are going to be continuing our Catholic 101 segment today, where we talk about the basics of church teaching and our Catholic faith. And today's topic's quite interesting. We're going to be talking about the unfailing holiness of the church. How can she be holy when she is filled with sinful members? Dr. Haddad's going to dive into that topic. I think that is all of us. So we're going to be diving into that. But I want to mention, you know, we have so many people who have been submitting events to us on our website, calendar, ccmedia.live. Click on events and news. Take a look at that calendar, because we are getting near to some St. Joseph's altars, and I want to give you those details. So go to ccmedia.live. Take a look at those various St. Joseph's altars happening all across our listening area. And also, those fish fries are still taking place. I think we only have a couple of more fish fries to go, you guys. So look at those. And yeah, the menu. I know some people need a vegan diet or a gluten-free diet or seafood, non-seafood. Take a look. All the menus are different, and they support wonderful causes as well. So ccmedia.live is where you can go. All right. The Gospel and Reflection is coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 5. Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, guys, I came across this quote the other day from C.S. Lewis, and I'm paraphrasing it, but really thought of our gospel today. He said, quote, "God is a giver, and God has nothing to give but himself. And to give himself is to be himself." I love that. To give himself is to be himself. Mm-hmm. So today our Lord is describing this gift, this Father, and I think it sums up in one word in our gospel today, and that's life. Life. You know, us Catholics, we say we believe in life, but actually we're saying much, much more. We're saying we believe in God who is life itself. Listen to how Jesus describes our Lord, his Father today. Quote, "For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son, the possession of life in himself." So I'll repeat that. The Father has life in himself, and Jesus, the Son, possesses life in himself. So it's not just that God has life, that he's for life, he's about life. God is life itself. So you have to think about that. What does that mean, you know? It means far more than God has always existed. He's the opposite of death. His divinity cannot die. He can only create. He can only love. He can only work for our salvation. And he can only be just. I say only because that's his nature. And here's the best news. Jesus tells us today, if we are one in him, we partake of that same life. And we too can never die. In fact, Jesus says that if we believe in him and honor the Son, we've already passed from death into life. So powerful is it that that voice of life echoes across down through the grave and pulls us up from the dead. That's what Easter's all about. Now, there's one thing that God did not create, and that is his absence. It's we who created death by choosing all that's not God. It's we who created evil. And God will honor that judgment, so our Lord says today. So Lent's about a time to truly become alive, to be a person of life and not of death. And what does that mean? You know, that these mortifications and these fastings, the almsgiving, it's not a bunch of no's. It's one solid yes to the God who is life. And I'm thinking about that. When are we life itself? Well, we're life itself when we do the work of the Father, as our Lord says today. When we honor the Son with the way we live our lives, when we protect the unborn, when we stand for religious freedom, when we clothe and feed the poor, We bring the sacraments to others. We lay down our lives for those we love and even those we don't even know. So here's the thought for today. As Christians, to be life means that we are not only fully alive in Him, but rather Christ is constantly being born in us. I'm reading this book by Hugh Rayner, the theologian, and he put it this way. I love this. Think about it. Quote, "Wherever within the church there is the silent growth in holiness, the striving after virtue and perfection, there our Lord is being born. There He is growing to perfect manhood. There is the fullness of Christ, however hidden by the veils of human imperfection. In this way, God opens the womb of the soul. All our striving after virtue is thus a perpetual rebirth from the womb of the Virgin Mother, from the Church. And in this way, the soul becomes the mother of Christ." That's life. God is life. So when we really do grasp, guys, you know, when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," our tomb becomes a womb, a spiritual womb, and He lives in us. We become life itself. So today, the Lord's calling us, let's not only be people for life, but may our joy and our actions reflect God who is life in Himself. A lot there today, though. Dina, love to get your thoughts.
Yeah, that's so rich. Mm-hmm. I'd have to sit on all of that and really pray with that you were talking about. I was also thinking about, too, as you were talking about, you know, the life-giving aspects of our Lord, is the relationship between the Father and the Son and how that relationship is manifested in our lives, like you were saying. And all it takes for us is to believe and give glory to God. Mm-hmm. But we do have to sit in that silence, which Dr. Neil is going to talk about later, and really embrace God's love and life-giving abilities for us to be able to live out that life-giving love through the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy that you were talking about. And we make it so complicated some days, but like really, if we just allow the Lord to enter into our lives, then for sure that life-giving birth within our soul will come out and manifest the glory of God in all that we do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Mm. Well, it's quarter past the hour now, and we're looking forward to hearing from, well, all the life of the church in our area from Peter Finney. Stay with us.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 13th. Today we celebrate Saint Leander of Seville. Leander grew up to be a fervent Catholic, although his family was heavily influenced by Arianism, a heresy that denied the divinity of Christ. He entered a monastery as a young man and spent 3 years in prayer and study. At the end of that tranquil period, he was made a bishop. For the rest of his life, he worked strenuously to fight against heresy. The death of the anti-Catholic king in 586 helped Leander's cause. He and the new king worked hand in hand to restore orthodoxy and renew a sense of morality. Leander succeeded in persuading many Arian bishops to change their loyalties. He helped Catholicism to flourish in Spain at a time of political and religious upheaval. As Bishop of Seville, Leander introduced the practice of reciting the Nicene Creed at Mass, seeing it as a way to help reinforce the faith of his people. Leander died around the year 600. In Spain, he is honored as a Doctor of the Church. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm so grateful to have Dina Dow join us for today's show along with Johnny Hebert. We make such a great team. Looking forward to welcoming our first guest today, yeah. Peter Finney. He just adds so much joy to our show every other week as we talk about the Clarion Herald issue Within the Archdiocese of New Orleans, Peter Finney is the editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald. Hey, Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Gabby, thank you so much.
Well, let's talk about this wonderful edition of the Clarion Herald. The first one is just brought a smile to my face. A Priest's Lenten Morning of Reflection, Be a Priest of Joy. How relevant is that? And something that I think that we need to remind ourselves to not only spread joy, but for also our priests to spread joy as well. And so tell us a little bit about this wonderful morning of reflection.
Yeah, it really is something for everyone, of course. Every year, the Archdiocese holds a morning of reflection during Lent for priests, and it was held last Thursday at Transfiguration of the Lord Church in New Orleans, and about 200 priests attended. Beautiful morning. Wow. And it's a kind of a holy hour confession. There's a little talk from a priest, and this year it was Father Michael O'Connor, a priest of Biloxi, who came in and said, you know, when he was in the seminary discerning the priesthood, he had maybe some doubts, even some self-doubts, and he didn't know what was going on. He prayed that God would allow him. He heard God say to him, Michael, don't abandon me, and I will teach you to trust me. And he said, really, the next day, a professor at the seminary came to him and said, listen, Michael, I think really what you need to do, you need to pray for the gift of joy. And he said, kind of in a way, that turned his whole life around. He said, from that day, I pray for joy every single day. You know, joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he said, really, I believe God has given me the gift of joy. And today I'm a grateful priest, and I am a joyful priest today. And he just, you know, he asked, you know, priests have a lot going on in their lives, and certainly he said this is one thing that maybe they could take and hold on to. Pray for joy. Pray for the gift of joy, and God gave it to him.
Wow, a wonderful reflection. We love Father Mike. He's over at Our Lady of the Gulf in Bay St. Louis, and every time you walk up to him, he does radiate joy. So he's definitely practicing what he preaches. So what a wonderful reflection by Father Michael O'Connor. Love that. Well, Peter, I mean, we're already getting into that time of year where, as parents, we have to decide summer activities, camps, and beyond. What are we going to do this summer? So tell us how the Clarion Herald is covering this.
Yeah, where has the time gone? I mean, summer is coming. Can you believe it? And, you know, every year we do kind of a comprehensive list of camp activities that are really sponsored by different entities, schools, and church parishes in the Archdiocese. So we have a complete list of camps that parents can really feel good about sending their kids to, and little kind of feature stories on some different camps. But we also have a big list where people can. There's really something for everyone. So it's about a 16-page issue. You can pull it out and take a look.
Wonderful. My son still talks about the summer camps that he went to as well. So it's definitely still making an impact years later, but some wonderful camps. Definitely check those out. You definitely won't regret those. Let's talk about the Kids Clarion. St. Dominic's students are kind of celebrating a little bit. Talk about this championship they were involved in.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I mean, there's a robotics team at St. Dominic, which is made up of, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 7th graders, and they're called the Dragoneers, and they're the first Lego Greek team headed to the world, the world competition, where, you know, they take a bunch of Legos and put them together with instructions, and this robot goes around and does all kind of things based on the information that they have put coding into this robot, and really it's incredible to see, you know, how advanced these kids are. You know, when I play with Legos with my kids, I say, oh man, I hope I can find the right piece just to put it on. That's the extent of my knowledge. But these kids are just learning so much, you know, teamwork, but also they're learning science and coding. So congratulations to St. Dominic and what they're doing there for their robotics team.
I love it. A little bit of engineering, science, technology, math. Love it. And robotics teams are popping up everywhere. I keep seeing it more and more. I think it's a wonderful program and opportunity. So congratulations to the St. Dominic's team. Let's talk about Holy Smoke. It is back, and I'm so glad to see it in this week's edition.
Yeah, and actually, he's a friend of mine, Vance Volkerson. He is the music director at Transfiguration, and he's a great person. It's hard to believe, but it's a 125-year family legacy of sausage making and also Creole cooking. And Vance just talks about some seafood recipes that he has at his own cafe on St. Bernard Avenue, and he talks about, you know, what his faith has meant to him, and also to his family, you know, through the years, and how it has kept him, you know, grounded, in his faith. And he's just a wonderful person. He's got some great recipes that people can look to for Lent. There's a bisque made of crab and corn, and just fantastic, and also a smothered okra recipe. So people can read about his faith, but also read about his cooking. So it's a good twofer, you know?
Oh my goodness, that sounds incredible.
Sounds
we'll definitely take a look at the at a Holy Smoke section. Help Never me. Know, you want bisque at 7:30. Oh my goodness. You have a story on a replica of the original Divine Mercy painting that's traveling. Kind of talk about that and how it's making its way to New Orleans.
Yeah, this is really interesting. When people think of St. Faustina, they always think of Poland, but apparently the original image of Divine Mercy is in a small chapel in Vilnius, Lithuania. And this portrait, which was painted at the instruction of St. Faustina, went through after World War II, had been, you know, smuggled all kind of ways to just to protect it, and kind of went all over the place, but wound its way back through a long series of events to Lithuania in this small chapel. And the person who is kind of promoting the original image of Divine Mercy will be in town along with a 5-member choir, which is they're going to sing a lot of Lithuanian songs and kind of like almost like Gregorian chant, but it's a beautiful thing. And there'll be a kind of an explanation of Divine Mercy, and especially of this portrait, which was painted at the direction of St. Faustina. So this will be April 3rd and 4th at St. Louis Cathedral on the evening at 7 p.m. It's the same thing on both nights, but it's free and open to the public. And it's really going to be a fascinating concert and kind of a prayer service and talk. You know, what does this portrait mean to people today?
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, what a powerful image. Definitely save that date. That's quite an event. Thank you so much, Peter. We'll definitely be checking that out in this week's Clarion Herald. And I was so bittersweet when I saw this announcement that associate editor of the Clarion Herald, Christine Bordelon, is officially going to be retiring in a few weeks. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. She's such a wonderful person. Christine joined the Clarion in 2007. She was a longtime reporter at the Times-Picayune, and she came in and just added so much joy and life to the Clarion Herald. And I'm going to miss her so much. But she's at a point where she just said, "I've been taking care of grandkids and other things. I really want to. She wants to have a weekend where she's not thinking of doing a story or covering a story." We completely understand, but we're so happy. She's brought so much joy to me and also to our readers, and we really, really are going to miss her. But I'm so happy, you know, for her.
Yes, absolutely. So are we. And she's done some wonderful work over in the Archdiocese, written some amazing stories that made an impact. So we'll definitely be celebrating with her as she moves on to some relaxing retirement years ahead. So, but tell us, Peter, the Clarion Herald pilgrimage is coming up. You guys are going to a lot of wonderful places. Give us those details.
Yes, there's going to be, we're going to host a pilgrimage to Italy, and we're going to go to Brescia, which was the home of St. Angelo Merisi, Venice, Assisi, Florence, Rome, of course, Pompeii, and Monte Cassino. It's really a trip of a life. Anybody who would ever want to go to Rome or to Florence or Venice, it'll be October 4th to the 15th, and we'd love to have anyone come with us, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. Father Gerald Seiler is going to be our spiritual director.
Wonderful. My goodness. That's going to be great. Definitely check that out. Peter, where can our listeners and viewers pick up their own copy of the Clarion?
It'll be in every church in the Archdiocese of New Orleans this weekend. Also, it's available right now online, electronically, every page at clarionherald.org.
Well, and Peter, I wanted to give you this comment. So we're on Facebook Live to many viewers, and we have a comment from Mike said, Peter Finney is always a great guest. So I did want to tell you that little shout out. I agree. Peter is a wonderful guest. Thank you so much.
I owe you something there. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter. Peter Finney, editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald. Definitely check that out, clarionherald.org. Some amazing stories in this week's issue. My goodness. Stay with us. Dr. Tom Neal joins Dina when we return from the break. We're going to be talking about silence during Lent. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 35 after the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up. This is Dina Dow with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert. Guest hosting for David Dawson, who's on the other side of the glass today, keeping our sound rolling, and Karen Cotton, who keeps our video just amazing. I am so excited to introduce our next guest. He's a fan favorite. I'm just going to have to say, and a personal favorite too. Dr. Tom Neal is the Chief of Evangelization and Mission Engagement in the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee. And today he's going to be talking to us about the practice of silence during Lent. Welcome, Dr. Neal. How are you today?
Hey, Dina, good to hear your voice. You are officially the president and only member of my fan club. I'm so happy.
Happy to lead the charge for you. Happy to lead the charge. So I love the topic that you're talking about today, especially when we're talking about silence. Talking about silence. Because usually in Lent, you know, we're focusing on prayer and fasting and almsgiving.
That's right.
The tendency to, like, incorporate silence in that is something that may not naturally occur to us. So I was thinking about the psalm, you know, be still and know that I am God. That's one of the things that came to mind when I was praying about our interview. So talk to us about silence, and especially silence during this season of Lent.
Yeah, that's what a great introduction. That's a perfect introduction, Dina. Silence, I want to talk about silence as a discipline in Christian life. And actually, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, as you mentioned, during Lent, the beauty of silence, if you think of it, so if silence is the absence of noise, right, that's kind of the most basic definition of it, but the deeper definition of it for a Christian, the more spiritual definition, is it's a posture of receptivity, of listening, the capacity to hear, and especially to hear, you know, with the hear with the heart, not just with the ears, but deeply, to listen to the voice of God above all. So if you think about fasting as fasting from noise or talking or being kind of distracted and living in distraction, so you fast from that so that you can pray, and then when you fast from noise in order to listen, then you naturally want to give alms that kind of flow from it, right? The kind of giving to others. So let me just talk about that briefly. When I was made a DRE, a Director of Religious Education, back in 1997 at the Co-Cathedral in Tallahassee, Florida, where I lived at the time, I remember a friend of mine, kind of as a gag gift, gave me a book that was called something like How to Be an Effective CEO. DREs ain't no CEOs, let me tell you that. But I read the book, and the first chapter completely, like, it blew my mind. The first chapter was called Silence. I thought, what an interesting chapter. So I read it eagerly. And the point of the author, he was, you know, very kind of secular approach. It wasn't, you know, a faith-based approach, but was that if you're going to be a leader, you have to have space in your mind for creativity to emerge. And the only way to do that is to practice silence every day. And he recommended 30 minutes every day in the morning, where you just sit in undistracted silence and allow to emerge kind of the deeper parts of the self And then he said, you know, one of the things that silence practicing, it allows you to do is get in touch with the center of yourself, kind of. And he says, because you want to lead from the center, not from the sidelines. You don't want to lead from people's opinions or what people think of you outside of you, but you want to lead from the center. And then the third thing he said that it helps is to create a sense of what he called mindfulness, which is, you know, like the ability to be present to the present moment, like right where you are. So when you're silent, you become aware of your surroundings, you become aware of sounds you didn't notice before, you become aware of your senses get heightened, and so you're able to live in the present moment. And be where you are. And he says, you can't be a good leader if you're not able to attend to the things in front of you and not live in the past or the future or elsewhere. I always like to say there's no saint elsewhere. There's only a saint now, present in the moment with the people you're with and the situation you're with, and that's where God is present. So if you think about practicing silence every day, whatever that is, you take time in the morning, or you have those, you know, gaps of time in your day, like driving in a car or standing in line, instead of whipping the phone out or turning the radio on or doing something distracting, just being present there and listening. And if you're a person of faith, of course, listening for what Christ is saying to you in the moment. Where is he speaking to you? Always speaking. So being open to that. And so here's the kind of the move from fasting from sound in order to be attentive and listen, and then move to alms, and that's this. One of the things, and this is, I learned this in some ways from Pope St. John Paul II, because if anyone I know who ever knew him close enough to describe his personality, almost everyone would say the same compliment to him. The kind of the highest compliment you could pay to him is that when he is with you, you're the only person in the whole world. Like, he's there with you, and fascinated with you, and present, and this, friend of his, a Polish Archbishop Zygmunt Rzymalski, I got to meet one time, and I asked him what most impressed him about Pope St. John Paul, and he said because when he was with you, it was as if no one else existed in the world. He said, and that's the posture of God. Right? It's as if no one else existed but you. And he said he learned that from his practice of prayer, of silent prayer, because God is the best listener that exists, right? And I remember John Paul II, he said, used to say, people who complain that God is silent when they cry out don't understand that God's silence is not indifference. God's silence is exquisitely careful listening to everything you're saying. Mm-hmm. And so pass that on. So I guess the almsgiving part, Dina, is this. You fast from noise, you practice silence to listen, but the almsgiving comes in the practice of listening to other people, right? Yes. This is where love of neighbor gets really tough, especially listening to people that are difficult to listen to. and let me end with, I'll end with a story that may take another minute or two. And that's that years and years ago, I had a spiritual director back in the early 90s who I used to ask him to help me with Lenten penances for the years I was with him, and I couldn't be very creative. And one Lent, he said, this Lent, what I want you to do is every day I want you to think of a person that you find difficult to be with or to listen to, and I want you to seek them out. I want you to spend time with them. I want you to give them a call. I want you to stop and talk to them for a couple of minutes, and I just want you to do as much as you can to just listen to them. And it's difficult, and you don't want to, and they're irritating, or you're kind of afraid of them, or whatever it is. But I want you to listen, and I want you to practice listening, because if you practice listening with difficult people, you'll be much better at prayer.
Right.
You'll be much more willing to listen to difficult things, because, you know, prayer is tough. Anyone who's ever tried to pray knows it's hard to be still and listen to the voice of God when, you know, your mind's full of a million things or your whatever it is in your life. So the practice of silence in prayer, the practice of silence in life can give you this sense of centeredness, this attentiveness to the moment, and a space for creativity to emerge, and also allows you to create a disposition for listening to other people, to be a great listener. And it's one of the greatest gifts you can give to people is to listen to them and really listen. Like, I care. It's a rare thing to meet a person who listens to you. Like, they really listen. Yes. And Christians should be the best ones in the world for that.
Yes, that's so beautiful. So you're saying that the fruit of silence and fasting from noise is a deepening of prayer. Is that what you would say? Yeah.
I would say that, yeah. And actually, when you say that, Dina, so it's beautifully said. Mother Teresa had that famous little stream of words. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace.
Yeah.
So if you want to bring peace into the world, be silent.
Right. And listen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a sacrifice, too. I was thinking, too, when you're talking about almsgiving and being that patient listener with someone, silently listening and then being present only, that's a beautiful notion of sacrifice during this time of Lent.
It is. It's a dying to self. To listen to someone else, especially people you find very difficult to listen to, is a real death to self.
Yes. I mean, it's just,
and I think about the people who have to listen to me. I mean, I'm difficult to listen to. I mean, God bless you. It's a mutual gift.
I don't know. I don't, as your number one fan of your fan club, I think I can listen to you most of the time. Dr. Tom Neal, just with us from Chief of Evangelization and Mission Engagement at the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee. You can read more about him at ptdiocese.org. Dr. Neal, thank you so much for being with us and giving us that beautiful insight. Yeah, you're just the best. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Take care.
All right, it's 45 after the hour. We'll be back in just a minute.
And good morning to you on this Wednesday, March the 13th. We're only a couple of weeks away, from Easter. Can you believe that? Hang in there. Doing well? It's never too late to start. If you think you've dropped the ball, well, the Lord's there. So, and to get us through, where else can you hear theologians like we've had on this morning? And we're going to continue that trend this morning. Dr. Jordan Haddad's going to join us right now. He is a professor of dogmatic theology at Notre Dame Seminary. He's also the president of the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society. And we're continuing our Catholic 101 segment. Good morning, Jordan. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. It's great to be with y'all.
Yeah, so, you know, the four marks of the church, one holy Catholic and apostolic church, paragraph 823, I think it is, of the catechism says the church is unfailingly holy, and yet, I'm looking in the mirror here, how can she be holy when she's filled with such sinful members? What does that mean, Jordan, to say that our church is holy, given that fact?
Yeah, it's a great question, and can pose quite a difficulty for many people, and really for all of us, if we're being honest with ourselves. As you mentioned, one of the marks of the church is our holiness. And on the evening of Holy Saturday, you know, the deacon chants the Exultet, in which he proclaims that the church is not only holy, but that she's most holy. And so that the church is holy is of great importance, not only today, but in every age, because we're always confronted with an obvious lack of holiness in the church and her members. And yet the church isn't simply her earthly members, but rather she has her origin in the Trinity, who is all holy, in her Christ, and in Christ, who is her mystical head. And so the problem we're confronted with is that we have the simultaneous presence of holiness and sin, which is the opposite of holiness, in the church, in the single subject of the church. So what would it mean to speak of a most holy church, and how can we reconcile that with that self-evident reality of sin in her life? So paragraph 823 from the Catechism begins its section on the holiness of the church in the following way. It says, "The church is held as a matter of faith to be unfailingly holy. This is because Christ, the Son of God, who with the Father and the Spirit is hailed as alone holy, loved the church as his bride, giving himself up for her so as to sanctify her. He joins her to himself as his body and endowed her with the gift of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. The church, then, is the holy people of God, and her members are called saints. So the church is held as a matter of faith to be unfailingly holy," which, of course, raises the question of what holiness is. And holiness is a notoriously difficult idea to wrap our heads around, because holiness has its ultimate source in God. It is what God is, and God just so happens to be the most mysterious thing there is. So it doesn't put us on great footing to be able to even understand the nature of holiness, right? But what we can say is that to be holy as a person is to be like God, and for the life of God to dwell in us. And it's important that we recognize this really fundamental idea, holiness as the presence of God, so we avoid the temptation of reducing holiness to mere moralism, right? Which would make holiness into something that we achieve by virtue of our own powers because we follow some set of ethical rules. Nor does holiness consist merely in fulfilling a set of religious practices alone, right? Rather, holiness entails the life of God within us. And because of this, holiness can be a really terrifying and frightening thing because it involves the dwelling of the infinite God in our weak, frail, fragile human bodies, right? And we see this with St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. So if that's what holiness is, and if our Catholic faith teaches us that the Church is herself holy because of the presence of God in Christ within her, then how is it that she can also be sinful? And the answer to this is rather simple and straightforward, right? The Church can be and is simultaneously holy and sinful because she's composed of human members who are imperfectly holy, right? Human members that are prone to sin, human members that are justified, but not yet wholly sanctified, right? St. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And paragraph 825 from the Catechism speaks of the Church as being endowed with a sanctity that's real, though imperfect. In her members, perfect holiness is something that is yet to be acquired. And so as Catholics, we don't believe that to be Catholic is to be perfectly holy as our Heavenly Father is perfectly holy, but only that we're supposed to be holy as the Father is holy. And we don't believe that one ceases to belong to the Church simply because we've fallen into, you know, into the state of mortal sin, but rather we believe that one ceases to be a living member of this holy body, which means that you belong to the body, you belong to the Church, but not to her bosom where divine life dwells. And so there's always going to be that simultaneous presence of a holiness in the Church, which has its origin in God and in Christ. And there's going to be sin in the Church because it has its origin in our fallen and wayward members.
Wow, there's a lot there. You know, you're speaking of St. Paul. When he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, persecuting the Church, Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? And it's such a personal, I mean, he is the Church. But also, Jordan, you mentioned this about the saints and Mary. They're part of the Church as well. They already have the beatific vision. If they're part of the Church, they certainly are holy. Then that's another aspect of the holiness of the Church, is it not?
Yeah, exactly. And so the Church exists in, you know, triumphant in heaven, suffering in purgatory, and as pilgrims here on earth. And so, you know, the membership of the Church includes not only us sinful and wayward members who are in the process of being made all holy, but also those perfectly sanctified members of the Church in heaven who, or our family, you know, our family members in the faith who pray for us, intercede for us, and are where and are who we are all meant to be and by the grace of God will be one day.
Yeah, and I love that idea, as you mentioned, the bride of Christ, that he washes us, and then in that washing of as his bride, he makes us holy to be one with him. Well, Jordan, how can people stay in touch with you and things going on at Notre Dame and at St. Louis Ninth Art Society?
Yeah, so we have our seminary gala this Saturday, which you can still purchase tickets to on nds.edu. And then tonight we begin a four-night Lenten mission with St. Luke the Evangelist in Slidell, talking all things sacred, sacred beauty, sacred art, sacred music, sacred architecture. So if you're in the Slidell area, hope you can come out and join us at St. Luke's.
Ah, holy things. Thank you, Jordan. We appreciate you joining us for this segment. Thank you, brother.
Thank you all.
Nice. Whew, a lot there today. What a rich show.
Yeah.
So let's go out in prayer, as we do pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you alone are holy, and all our works, all our words can never capture the distance between ourselves and you. Yet you chose to come to us in all humility, suffering for our sake, bridging that great chasm created by our pride and our disobedience. So as we move forward, O Lord, with our Lenten commitments, may our silence, our striving for virtue, and our gifts only deepen our awareness of how close you truly are to each of us. And may that increase our desire to be forever united with you in this life, so as to be with you forever in the next. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, David Dawson, our stand-in audio director for the week. Absolutely great job. And Karen Cotton, our video technical director. Thank you so much for all that you both do. Tomorrow, a wonderful show. Nicole Jones joins us from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Donald Midkiff with Brother Martin High School in New Orleans. And Dr. Mark Williams with the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.